Hello and welcome back to the PAL with Reb T, Pirkei Avos Learning, the show where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say. All previous episodes and seasons are available at anchor.fm/Reb T. We are in 5-9. Hey Tet. Using the Yad Avraham here in Season 3, again, Pesach is coming, Passover is coming, we'll take a tiny hiatus, God willing, then we'll come back for a few weeks, finish off, take our summer hiatus, and come back next year with a new commentary, God willing. So let's look at Hey Tet right here, still talking about different punishments that come to the world for sins that are found in the world. Chaya Ra'a Bala Olam Al Shavua Shav, savage beasts come to the world on account of vain earths. Oaths, excuse me, ve'al chilul Hashem, and an account of desecration of the name of God. Galus ba'al olam, exile comes to the world, al ovde avoda zara, on account of those who worship idols, ve'al gile arayis, and on those who have illicit relations, ve'al shafichas damim, an account of murder, ve'al chashmatas ha'aretz, and on account of the abandonment of the land. Ba'arba parakim hadever misraba. At four times pestilence is increased. Since it's a longer Mishnah, we won't be able to do every commentary piece, but we'll try a little bit. Baravias, Vashavias, Uvamotishvias. So at four times pestilence is increased in the fourth year, in the seventh year, at the departure of the seventh year, and at the departure of Sukkot each year, Vamotseachag Shebachol Shana Vashana. At the end of Sukkot each year, Baravias Mipnei Masar Ani Shabashlishis. In the fourth year, it is because of Masar Ani of the third year. This gets very confusing. Bashvias Mipnei Masar Ani Shabashlishis. In the seventh year, because of Masar Ani of the sixth year. Uvamotzi Shavias Mipnei Peros Shavirs. At the departure of the seventh year, because of the produce of the seventh year. Uvamotzi Hachag Shabachol Shana Vashana. And at the departure of Sukkot each year, Mipnei Gezel Matnos Aniyim, because of stealing the gifts of the poor. So let's try to break it down a little bit, seeing what's going on in this Mishnah. Because the previous Mishnah listed the first four sins of seven, which bring punishment to the world, and this Mishnah lists the remaining three. Although we have followed the standard version of the Mishnah, which begins a new Mishnah at this point, other manuscripts like Meiri and Maganavos do not divide the Mishnahs in two. So the savage beasts. A vain oath is one made for no purpose, as Rav explains. Either it confirms what we already know, like swearing that a stone column is made of stone, also pointed out by Maganavos, or it contradicts reality, like swearing that a stone column is actually made of gold or that a man is actually a woman. See Shavuos and Rambam Hilchos Shavuos. When people sin with their mouths uttering vain oaths, God punishes them in kind, dispatching against them the teeth of beasts, as shown in Deuteronomy. Furthermore, it's the gift of speech that elevates us above the animals and gives us dominion over them. When we abuse this power, we demonstrate we are no better than wild beasts and thus find ourselves at their mercy, as pointed out by Rav Yonah. Account of desecration of the name of God. This refers to one who sins in public, causes the name of heaven to be disgraced through his actions. This can come about if he sins with an obvious and contemptuous disregard for the Torah, as pointed out by Rav and Magen Avos, or if he causes others who do not realize that such behavior is prohibited to unwittingly follow his example, as pointed out by Rav and Tiferes Yisrael. Exile comes to the world on account of those who worship idols and illicit relations, and account of murder. These three cardinal sins of idol worship, illicit relations, and murder lead to exile, the harshest punishment of all, pointed out by Tiferes Yisrael. Each is learned from a scriptural source as presented in the Gemara and summarized here. Also, you could see Tosfos Yom Tov and Magen Avos. With respect to idolatry, it is written in Vayikra, I will cast your carcasses upon the carcass of your idols, followed by, and you, I will scatter you among the nations. Since the people desired idol worship, God sends them into exile, whereas the verse states, you will serve God as the handiwork of men, pointed out by Avazir Rabin Unasan. Illicit relations comes from also around that area, for the inhabitants of the land who are before you committed all these abominations, and the land became contaminated, and therefore the land became contaminated. I recalled its inquiry upon it, and the land disgorged its inhabitants. The land of Israel, very Holy Land. If people can't tolerate their differences and tolerate different things that the Torah calls for, the land can't tolerate them and will vomit them out, will spit them out. As for murder, it states in Numbers, you shall not bring guilt upon the land in which you are, for the blood will bring guilt upon the land. The very next verse is written, you shall not contaminate the land in which you dwell, and in whose midst I rest. The implication is, if you do contaminate the land through murder, you will not continue to dwell in it, and I will not continue to rest in its midst. Let's move over to account of the abandonment of the land. Here the Mishnah refers to the general requirement that Eretz Yisrael be abandoned, not worked during the sabbatical year, as pointed out by Rav, Rashi, and Magen Avos. Violating this prohibition causes exile, as the verse states, then the land will be appeased for its sabbaticals during all the years of its desolation. While you are in the land of your foes, then the land will rest and it will appease for its sabbaticals. If the people do not lend the land rest in their presence, the land will rest in their absence. As pointed out on Shabbos, those who work the land during the sabbatical year delude themselves that agricultural success can be attained through their own might. God sends them into exile to demonstrate that their very presence on the land, let alone what it produces, is totally under his control. Pointed out by Major Shmuel, also see Avos Rabbeinu Nasan. Also, so we see that there are seven sins and a corresponding punishment. So there's neglect of tithes, punishable by three famines of drought, confusion and destruction, unpunished capital crimes, punished by pestilence, violation of the sabbatical laws, punished by pestilence and exile, injustice, punished by sword, vain oaths, punished by a savage beast, desecration of God's name, punished by savage beasts, and the three cardinal sins, punished by exile. So four times pestilence is increased. The previous Mishnah taught that God brings pestilence upon the world as a punishment for specific sins. Here we learn that once present, this plague of pestilence intensifies it four times during the seven-year Shemitah cycle, pointed out by Magen Avos Tosfos Yom Tov Tiferes Yisrael. Since there are always some individuals who sin with regard to the gifts of the poor, God consistently increases the pestilence when already present at these four times measure for measure, pointed out by Tosfos Yom Tov and Magen Avos. So the fourth year because of Maaser in the third year, Maaser Ani in the third year, and the seventh year because of Maaser Ani in the sixth year. Produce grown in Eretz Yisrael is subject to different tithes. The first two are Truma given to the Kohen, Maaser Rishon, which is given to a Levi. Then the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of Shemitah cycle, the owner separates Maaser Sheni, eats it in Yerushalayim, or exchanges it for money used to buy food in Yerushalayim, which is eaten there. Third and sixth years, Maaser Sheni is replaced by Maaser Ani, which the owner distributes to the poor, pointed out by Rav Raman commentary and Rav Bachya. When landowners withhold this tithe that is due the poor in the third and sixth years of Shemitah cycle, God afflicts the world with an intensified plague of pestilence. This punishment comes in the years immediately following, pointed out by Rashi, once it is clear the owners are keeping the tithe for themselves. See Rav Yonah. Of course, because we have to take care of the poor, so if you rob the poor of what they need, and you're taking away literally the bread from their mouth, it's not a good thing. God is not going to be happy. At the departure of the seventh year because of produce of the seventh year, in the eighth year, the year past the Shemitah, following the Shemitah, Rashi, Machzorvich, and Miri point out, people are punished for not having rendered their sabbatical produce hefker, ownerless, pointed out by Rashi, Machzorvich, and Rabachi. The poor depend upon such produce, for the verse explains, in Shemos, and the destitute of your people shall eat it. Also pointed out by Ore Hagra. Depriving them of this source of food thus endangers their lives, pointed out by Meiri, and brings an intensified plague of pestilence as a result. And at the departure of Sukkot, each year stealing the gifts of the poor. The Torah obligates growers of produce to leave a number of other gifts for the poor during the harvest. This includes leket, ears of grain that fall during the reaping process, shechecha, sheaves forgotten in the field, and peah, the part of the field that a farmer must leave unharvested for the poor to take. And also peret, grapes that fall off a cluster as it's being picked, and olelos, underdeveloped clusters of grapes. And see Rav, Rashi, and Rambam commentary. Sukkot marks the end of the harvest season, by which time the above gifts should have been made available to the poor. Thus, when the gifts are not given, punishment follows immediately after Sukkot, pointed by Rav Yonah, Rambam commentary, Machzorvich, and Magen Avos. So in the end, we have to make sure to take care of who we need to take care of. We got to avoid those cardinal sins, those three cardinal sins, which are basically, you know, Yarog v'al Yavar, you're supposed to be killed and not actually, you know, give yourself over to them. You have to give up your life instead of them. You have to make sure not to make sure that the world is good. We have to give the produce and the presents to the people that need it. The Kohen and the Levim, they subside in this, and the poor literally depend on it for their lives. If not that, they'll die of hunger or thirst. We have to make sure to take care of everyone around us, and on a small level, whatever money we have, we should give the proper 10% or so to tzedakah, and we should make sure to give 10% of our time, as Rabbi Feinstein, I believe, explains, and we've talked about before, just doing our part to make the world a better place, little bit by little bit. Next time, join us as we talk four types of men when it comes to the giving personality here on the PAL with Reb T. And I'm your host, Reb T.